Good evening. This is the meeting of the Lawrence Douglas County Planning Commission, and excuse me. First item is minutes. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes? Any corrections or discussion, motions?
Me, I'll take.
Commissioner Finkeldey.
It's when I miss Commissioner Harris. She always had good changes for minutes.
Did.
But I would, I have no changes, so I'd move for approval of the July 25th and 27th minutes.
Is there a second?
I would second.
Second by Commissioner Lease. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It passes 8-0 with one abstention. Excuse me. Are there any committee reports? It's a very quiet group tonight. Okay, seeing no committee reports, we'll move on to communications. Any additional written communications, Scott, that wasn't updated this afternoon?
None that was not updated, no.
Okay. This references August mid-month meeting summary under item B in communications. I'm just kind of curious.
That was presented just as a summary of this last month's mid-month, since there was a lot of discussion by the Planning Commission on some topics that are just appropriate for all the commissioners to see, we thought.
Okay. Any waiver requests or determinations made to the city engineer?
No, sir.
By the city engineer. Okay, disclosure of ex parte communications. Any ex parte communications to disclose? Okay, how about declarations of abstentions from specific agenda items? Any abstentions this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the public hearing items. Item number one, did you have something else? Oh, I thought I heard something, never mind. Item number one, excuse me, RM12D to RM12, 8 acres at the southwest corner of East 25th Terrace and Franklin Road. Sandy?
This first item is for rezoning for a portion of an area within the Fairfield Farms residential area of that entire subdivision. We actually considered some rezoning a couple of months ago for turning this into a single large lot for a future church. The existing zoning today, the RM12D would remain for the area south of 25th Street. This is where the county jail is. This is a piece of unincorporated property along Franklin Road. And then these other pieces in blue are also county properties today. The proposed zoning request includes these platted lots. It is a single block face, or a single block along Franklin Road. And then the two street segments that extend just a little bit. This interior piece would remain as the RM12D. The significant difference between the two districts really is that the RM12 allows a multifamily type of housing. And the applicant has been talking with staff about trying to do a townhouse type of development. And some of the standards in the RM12D really are not conducive to that type of housing. This is along the lines of what the applicant is proposing, and then there were several other types of housing that we provided in the staff report to give you an overview of what those differences are for the code. This is similar to the project that the applicant intends to build, and I think you have some of this information in your packet as well. It's a series of row houses with an alley access, and then this would be Franklin Road on the other side. So we would be looking at possibly replatting or possibly site planning as well in the future, depending on how the applicant chooses to structure this, either for ownership where each unit is on its own lot or whether or not it is more of an apartment type situation that has this kind of appearance. And then the platting may be to combine some of those lots to do something like that. This is the preliminary plat we approved a few months ago, and the way it looks today, whether or not these lots would be either consolidated or reconfigured a little bit to accommodate the applicant's desire to construct row housing. Staff's recommendation for the rezoning is for approval.
Thank you, Sandy. Is the applicant here?
Hi, my name's Aaron Gaspers. I'm with Johnson Group, here representing the owner. I think Sandy did a good job covering just about anything. Here to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions of the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing item. If there's anybody from the public that wishes to speak, please come forward, either of you. All right. That being the case, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission for discussion, comments, motions. This is a quiet group tonight. Commissioner Finkeldey.
I support the staff's recommendation. I think given its location as between the jail and moving into the duplexes and into the single family and transitioning into the rest of the Prairie Park neighborhood, I think that would be a nice, I mean, I think that makes sense to have a buffer along that edge. And I don't see any negative impacts to that area. So I will go ahead and move for approval of the request to rezone the 8 acres from RM12D to RM12. Based upon the findings of fact presented in the staff report and forwarding to the City Commission with recommendation for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Lease? Okay, discussion? Commissioner Lease?
Just to make the statement, I seconded that because I agree with everything said by Commissioner Finkeldey.
I have a question for staff.
Commissioner Bell?
I'm looking at the plans and studies required where it says retail market study is not applicable to residential request. I would find it helpful, even though I know that the type of units built are market driven, I would find it helpful to have a metric of like what town, not locations of where we're trying to allot certain structures, but like percentages of townhomes, condos, apartments, houses, and aside from the census data, because it seems to me that that's a metric that would be helpful in terms of determining, we see lots of plans like this that are sort of dictating townhomes and apartments. I'd like to know if we're reaching some sort of peak or whatnot.
We can try to put together some kind of report on what's existing out there. We do not do a comprehensive and market analysis of multi-dwelling structures in the city. We haven't been directed to do that by the governing body. I think it's a conscious decision. We do it with the commercial development because the comprehensive plan directs us to do that, and we track that in some amount of detail. But we can pull together perhaps some data and mapping that shows where these different types of housing developments are for you.
I think that would be helpful for me. Thank you.
I have a question. Sandy, did you say these are going to front onto Franklin or back onto Franklin?
The back. Their faces would be to the duplexes across the street. And then we would look at some kind of road treatment because you'd have the public road, which has to be there, and probably some kind of form of alley access to the rear of those buildings.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Commissioner Berger.
I know that in the staff report it said that there's no necessarily a guarantee that what's been visually represented here is what will be built. Could this be, by approving the zoning, an open door to multi-family?
Yes, I mean, it could be multifamily if the property were to come back and be replatted instead of many individual lots replatted into maybe combining a series of six or seven lots together, and that's something we would look at through the subdivision plat process if and when it comes forward. The depth is controlled by the location of Franklin Street and the other interior local streets that are there, so the depth doesn't change. The overall density, gross density doesn't change, but the total number of units can fluctuate by, I think I looked at maybe as many as a couple dozen units all total if you're not having to have those side yard setbacks, depending on how those buildings look. So,
Mr. Berger?
I'd just like to say that with what was presented in the staff report, it looks like a very exciting project, and I would actually like to see more of this around town, because it's a different type of project than we've seen so much of some of the other types. So I hope that it does actually end up happening to reflect what's been represented here, and I'll support the motion.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and take a vote. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Opposed? It's 8-9-0. Motion passes 9-0. Okay, item number two is a text amendment to the City of Lawrence Development Code, Chapter 20, on detention. Something that I'm sure Bruce had in high school a lot.
This particular request has grown out of some of the previous things that we have been doing with the industrial districts and detention facilities. And in one of those more recent applications, we did note that the city's two current facilities, the juvenile facility and then the county jail facility, were rezoned into the GPI district, but that use was not carried over as being a permitted use in that zoning district. So this is really an attempt to try to correct that. And in addition to that, to address some of the terms and consistency in the code from the definitions into the tables. This exhibit shows you where our existing GPI zoning is today, and this generally represents properties that are owned by the city, the county, or the school district. The airport at one point had been GPI, but because we are trying to look at some industrial uses out there, the GPI was too limiting and it was rezoned to a standard industrial zoning district. There is, on the last page of the staff report, this is a portion of that table showing you how this would change or look. And it's just bringing that consistency between the definitions and the use tables and the zoning categories. Changing, I think, utility minor and utility major to utilities, plural. That was one of the changes, and that's a thing between the definitions. Detention facility, making that a little bit more clear that it's not a detention pond, it is a building. And then correcting some of that language in the utilities and services major definition that had actually included those detention and correction institutions. We have a particular use defined in the code, so having it in those two places introduced some conflict into the code, so this would remove that. And staff recommends approval of that change. We did make the recommendation to make it subject to a special use permit. That does give it more public review for any new facility. The way the development code is structured today, those existing facilities are assumed to have a special use permit because they were allowed uses when they were originally created. So that doesn't put them in any kind of non-conforming compliance. And then if either of those facilities or a new facility were to come forward, we would look at that a new special use permit for them. And then the second recommendation is some of the clarification and housekeeping items that we identified as we moved through the report. That's it.
Thank you. This is a public hearing item. There is no other applicant, I guess. So does anyone from the public care to speak on this item? Okay, if not, we'll close the public hearing. Bring it back to the commissioners for discussions, motions. Commissioner Finkeldey.
Not much objectionable here. You know, I did have some concerns when we originally brought this up, whether or not I supported the idea of a special use permit for detention facilities for governmental units. But reading the report and thinking about it, I think, you know, probably a special use permit is the appropriate tool even for the government entities, so we'd have, you know, some more control and some more input from neighbors. So I've kind of changed my opinion on that, and with that change and the other minor updates, I go ahead and support this, and I can make a motion if others don't have comments.
Any other discussion? Okay.
Well, then I move for approval of the text amendment found in item number 2 to section 2403 to change the, to add detention facilities as a special use in the GPI, as well as the revision of the definition of major utilities, and as well as the recommendation of the other changes set forth by the staff to align the terms with Article 17.
Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Singleton. Any further discussion of the motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please raise your hand. All those opposed, motion passes 9-0. We have a non-public hearing item now. Item 4, comprehensive plan amendment to Horizon 2020 for the Inverness Park District Plan. Dan?
Good evening, Commissioners. Dan Warner with the Planning Office. I'm going to talk to you about our clarification for the Inverness Park District Plan, item number 4. Real quickly, recap, the Planning Commission approved this plan on July 27th by a vote of 7-1. The approval included a couple changes, one of which was a requirement that the properties along Clinton Parkway, the three properties, would be required to utilize planned development overlay districts when seeking a rezoning. Just a reminder, this is a future land use plan that was approved for the Inverness Park District Plan. We have neighborhood commercial with a buffer on this corner of Inverness Park and Clinton Parkway, high density residential on this Remington Square property, neighborhood commercial on this corner, residential office here, single family, low density and open space here, and some open space as well. Real quick, couple slides about planned development districts. PD district is required to at least have a half an acre of development. The City Commission can reduce that size. The PD is an overlay district that utilizes a base district, so an RM or an RS district. So a PD with an RM 15 has a base density of 15 dwelling units to the acre. A list of allowed uses must be approved with each PD, and the City Commission can increase the net residential density beyond that of a base district by up to 25%. PD requires at least 20% of the total site area to be common open space, and at least half of that to be recreational open space. And then there's three different options for preserving and maintaining that open space that are listed. And those three typically are most useful with single dwelling cluster, you know, residential developments. It may not be particularly useful for the three properties along Clinton Parkway. So when staff put together a draft of this plan, we basically came up with two options. One is just summarizing, so for the residential high density and also for the neighborhood commercial, have basically the same two options here. The first option is that only a planned development overlay district can be utilized on those three properties. Then the second option is that some sort of public process will be followed. It could be the PD overlay district, or it could be a rezoning with conditions that requires that the site plan, which is administratively approved, would have to go to the City Commission for approval. So basically, instead of having just one option for development of those properties, you could have at least two different options. So in a nutshell, we're just asking Planning Commission to clarify the intent for that vote last month. So again, option one, just PD overlay districts for those three properties, or option two, a public process that could be a PD overlay district, or it could also be conditional zoning that requires public approved site plan. So be happy to try to answer questions.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Although this is a non-public hearing item, I'm going to exercise a little discretion here. If we have anyone that wants to speak to the Inverness Park district plan, please feel free to come forward.
What's the time limit?
Thank you, Commissioner Hurd.
Don't forget your time limit.
I'm already at zero. I appreciate the Planning Commission's willingness to take this matter up for a third time. I believe it's as a result of several letters that I wrote on behalf of two applicants in this park district plan. And when both of these applicants considered the specific requirements that are associated with the PD overlay, it became apparent that the PD overlay is really not a good fit. At the last Planning Commission meeting, we discussed the need to have the Planning Commission or some governing body review the site plan because of the nature of this area, and there's no objection to that. And so option two, I believe it was option two, that allowed for either a PD or a stipulation that it be a public review would clearly be our preference. We would essentially be creating problems that otherwise don't exist under straight zoning. We're not using the PD overlay to increase density, so we were trying to use it for the one purpose of allowing a public review of the site plans, and there seems just to be a better way to do it. Now, the Planning Commission has already used conditional zoning to the extent that it's limited Remington Square to one-bedroom, two-story units, and this is a condition on procedure, not so much on the condition of use. So we, on behalf of both Hy-Vee and Remington Square, would advocate for option two and believe that that's a reasonable way to accomplish the Planning Commission's goals. I'll stand for any questions you have.
Any questions? Thank you.
Marcy Francisco, 1101 Ohio, and I am a longtime member of the League of Women Voters Land Use Committee. I was pleased that the other two issues you've taken up this evening, we felt that the staff had made very good recommendations. But I really appreciate the opportunity to speak briefly on this issue. We have a couple of concerns. One is that there aren't really any regulations or suggestions or recommendations for the Planning Commission and the City Commission to deal with conditions on zoning. There certainly are those recommendations for special use permits, but not for regular zoning. So we just want to say that that would be a helpful thing if this is a precedent that you start. The other thing I want to mention is that the Land Use Committee believes that these properties would be very appropriate for the overlay district. And that's because there's a stream that's the dividing line between two properties. It's on the eastern edge of the Remington Square Apartments. There is some flood hazard area that's designated on the map. And in addition, to the south of that area, there's a future parks and recreation facility. So this would be a very appropriate place to identify a trail along that stream that could become a connection and a way to get to that park area. So an appropriate opportunity for use of open space, and that would make sense for the Planning Commission and City Commission to review that and provide for that. I think the problem may be in just the wording that we say consideration for a mandatory membership owners association, it's a homeowners association. If we just dropped the home and talked about an owners association, if there's one individual, they're responsible for the maintenance. If any of the apartments are ever sold off as condominiums, by state law, you would have to establish that ownership association for the maintenance of any jointly shared properties. Because of that, and because we had understood that the owner of the land for the apartments had actually wanted to increase the density of the area, and what the Planning Commission has done in terms of make changes to the overlay district allows for not only that 25% increase, but allows for a density increase when you're looking at just the one-bedroom apartments, in the change that we did to the 0.4, 0.6, 0.8. So the members of the League Committee thought that I understood that better than some of the rest of them, because I'd been recently down here talking about that, and I would be happy to stand for any questions you might have on this issue.
Thank you. Any questions, Marcy? Excuse me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to comment on this? Again, it's not a public hearing item, but we'd certainly invite comment. Okay. Thank you. We'll bring it back to the commissioners then for discussion. Some motions, directions to staff. Commissioner Berger?
I have a question for staff, I think. The 20% allowance for the set-aside, is that each individual parcel has to have 20%, or the parcels become a congregate unit that then has a 20% requirement?
It could be actually accomplished, in my opinion, in different ways. Again, it's depending on what kind of project we have. So if we have a commercial development like what we have submitted for Hy-Vee, well, that's kind of a single use on one platted lot. So the open space may be contained right on that lot. An apartment complex can be on one lot and have several buildings associated with it, and private drives and private parking. And so the open space would really just be identified on the site plan. And then if we get into subdividing property for cluster housing projects, which we frankly don't do many of those, then you're looking at individual lots that have a tract of open space that would be held in common with the owners association. And the idea that that's appropriate in the cluster housing project, or when there are multiple lots and there's a need to provide that common ownership and common maintenance with it. From our perspective, we've got other methods for dealing with maintenance. Even if it is a tract of common open space, somebody owns that, and we've got our enforcement methods to accomplish good maintenance of those issues. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it can be varied in terms of whether it's single lots, multiple lots, et cetera. Most apartment complexes are owned by one corporate entity, so if there are issues that arise, we deal directly with the management group at the complex. That's where we start. We visit the office or make a phone call, and we start there in terms of dealing with landscape maintenance or parking lot maintenance or issues like that.
Question, Phil. I was trying to find the provision the provision regarding planned development overlay districts, and does it have to be a homeowners association? Marcy mentioned the idea of association. Does the code say homeowners, or does it just say association?
I believe it says homeowners, but it can also be held in a land trust, conservation trust, or it can actually be deeded to the city. We don't do a lot of that either. We don't accept a lot of those kinds of kinds of deeds.
Do you know what that is?
It's 702. Let me find it.
I was looking at 701, but I didn't see it there. So
it's just after that section, I believe.
Oh, there it is. It's in 703. Yeah, it does say. I mean, that was my concern. It says establish of a mandatory membership homeowners association. I mean, I guess we can talk about what we're going to do with this one, but to the extent we want to use PD, you know, we've made some changes to these planned unit developments to try to use them more often. We probably should give you something else to do and initiate a text amendment to look at this to see how we could open that up a little bit. I mean, I can see that. I mean, I can see why Hy-Vee does not want to, you know, establish a homeowners association and deed 20% of the land either to, you know, a conservation trust, the city, or to a homeowners association. But I can see Senator Francisco's point that if we change the wording a little bit, it would be a, you know, I could see how it could work in different situations. So the problem for this particular applicant is he has he being, I guess, Hy-Vee in this case, or Remington Square, but Hy-Vee has a pending application and don't want to wait for a text amendment review. So I've gone beyond my question. Sorry.
That's all right.
Well, Commissioner, I think, too, that we were seeking clarification of what was the intent of last month's discussion about site planning and the public process that allows that. We didn't have much discussion on the merits of a PD in terms of, is a PD warranted on all three of the lots that you placed it on the plan? Because when you start looking at the details, which we did have, which we went to do after that meeting, you may recall we were working a little bit on the fly that night about trying to respond to the league's letter, which had some really good value and merits to it, and then we put the PD in the plan. But after that, we started looking at this, and we said, well, we do have sensitive land, but it's already protected through the floodplain regulations, or to a high level. So we've got that looks at the sensitive land. We've always got the site planning process itself, which we use as our enforcement tool, and if we go through a public process, which we did end up doing on the far west corner with, I forget the name of it, but the corner of Inverness and Clinton Parkway. That was a proposed apartment complex, and the governing body sent that back to the Planning Commission to review the site plan, and they went through a process there to get some buffer and extraordinary landscaping and such. So I think we can get to the same place if we're looking for the outcome. What's the outcome of development in this area? It's not necessary, in our opinion, to have just the PD be our guide here. There are other ways to get at the same outcome and get the same values of sensitive land and maintenance and open space and those kinds of things.
Commissioner Lease?
Thank you. Then the letter from the League of Women Voters that's dated August 15th, 2011. The next to last line says, or is it the last line? Please do not include option two in the Inverness Park District Plan. Senator Francisco, is that what you're saying tonight, or are you saying something different? I just want to get that clarified. And then my next question, which I'll state now, or ask now. So when a motion is made, it's really more than, I mean, there are multiple motions we could make tonight. Somebody could move for option one to keep things as they were. Mm-hmm. So could suggest option two. We could talk about text amendments. There's so many different options at this point, it seems. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I wanted to get that clarified before you answer.
It is. You've got some options in what you do with the plan. We've opened the plan back up and proposed some language to you. We wanted to show you what we thought we did last month first. That's option one. You said PD overlay, that's what option one does. Then we say, well, you know, when we really started thinking about this afterward, we said we think the value, the intention of the Planning Commission is to go through a public process for development here. Well, in some ways, and if we leave it as flexible as that in the plan, then Hy-Vee, there's an argument that as Hy-Vee comes in and with their request, because the base zoning district that they're requesting requires a special use permit, that requires a site plan, I could argue that that is a public process. The site planning of Hy-Vee's property is meeting the value of that intention to go through a public process and look at the site development and get the public involved with it. So that if we look to the area plan as our guiding document and our goals and policy statements, if we leave it a little broader, there may be even more than just PD, plan development overlay and conditional zoning. Special use permit may also meet your goal of going through a very public process for development.
Okay, so then I...
another issue that I should have brought up, I don't know if you got a copy of the follow-up letter that was sent August 18th.
That's the one I'm citing.
There was one, no, you mentioned
today,
the 15th.
Today? Oh, okay, and then...
There was one, a follow-up letter on the 18th, and the last part...
Oh, there it is, yeah, yeah.
And that was not included as part of the staff packet. It maybe have posted, it wasn't included as of Saturday night,
right.
But the last part of that was to say we are not interested, or we are concerned about option two in the Inverness Park District plan for Remington Square Apartments. So that would just be really for the development of residential. Again, because those could be sold off at some time as condominiums. I think the staff has answered appropriately the issues of the Hy-Vee development or other commercial development. But if you have residential development, it can change ownership from a single owner of all the land. to various owners, and at that point, so again, we are saying if it's a owner's, homeowners association, and there's just one owner of the lot, that they would be the only person that would be making those decisions. But again, our concern was for the residential development, not for the commercial development.
So what would your... What
so
would
our,
you want to see?
Our
what would you
recommendation
want to see
would be to not use option two for lot two, which is Remington Square. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question for Marcy. Mm-hmm. I got a question for you. Okay. The one thing about option two that I keep thinking about is, you know, we talk a lot at these meetings about how we make recommendations to the elected officials. This seems like an opportunity to have this heard at the city commission level where the league and everybody else would have a chance to have their input.
It will be heard at the city commission level, right?
Well,
you're talking about future rezoning.
Yeah.
Requests.
Oh, if you have conditioning?
If we condition it, yeah.
And that's true, but at that point you're looking at a specific site plan. You don't have the same requirements for either the 20% set aside for recreation areas, and you don't have the homeowners association if that changes. So again, perhaps this is a misunderstanding, but we thought that there was a request for increased zoning, that this lot is already developed to the maximum that's allowed under the current zoning. They're asking for increased zoning. I heard the staff say, and the Planning Commission agree, that in the case of the property at 1043 Indiana, it made sense to use an overlay district because at that point it allowed more issues to be addressed. And I think the same thing is true for an area that's already been developed to the density that was indicated and that people are trying to, and perhaps appropriately in this case because it's one bedroom development, but that are trying to increase that development. So that's why we were saying that, and I don't know that it matters at this point, whether you say that that's high density in the plan, but particularly because of the opportunity with the stream, the opportunity for connecting to a park and recreation area, we think planning is particularly useful on this site.
Thank you. Commissioner Berger?
Is staff aware of, does the applicant for the residential area have an opposition to the 20%?
I'm not aware. We didn't talk specifically about that. Mr. Goff's here. I'm sure we could ask him. I think, you know, the code does require, has other requirements for recreational open space for apartment buildings as well. It's different than the 20% rule, but there is, I think it's 50 square feet per unit, if I recall, that's required. The idea being that people who live in multi-dwelling structures are going to need to be accommodated through recreational open space. I don't know that the PDP, that the Plan Development Overlay District, gives us any greater authority to require trails and things. I think, given the circumstances surrounding Remington Square, I think we would have some authority to encourage, if not require, trail development through our process, because we're creating a public process with the site planning and such. So the seeking a plan development district doesn't give the city any greater authority to seek exactions on property than we have otherwise, in my opinion. It may give us a little bit of authority in the sense that where it talks about increasing height or setback or parking, there are some criteria that they have to meet if they give us other things. But that specific issue, I'm not sure we would have any greater authority to seek that. If the applicant sees that as a benefit to the community, is willing to do that, then certainly we would welcome that opportunity. But I'm not sure the PD gives us that specific authority.
Questions? Other comments? Very quiet tonight. Motions? Commissioner Finkeldey.
Well, I think the certainly when we were here last time, we didn't talk about the intricacies of the PD overlay and what it might mean in all the situations. I do think we intentionally wanted to have a public process and oval, you know, and be able to site plan and watch how this project goes. So to that extent, you know, I guess I'm leaning towards option two. I know the, especially as it relates to Hy-Vee, even as to Remington Square, I think it's important to note that this is the language we're putting into a plan, the Southeast Area Plan. I mean, this, you know, and we're recommending, if we took option two, that there must be some sort of public process, some plan development overlay or rezoning with conditions. At some point, we'll actually see the plan, and that plan for Remington Square, I think, is obviously the one we're talking more about than Hy-Vee. You know, what they come back with that meets that plan is going to be, you know, up to the staff and then eventually up to us to decide. And when we see the actual plan, you know, and if we don't like the Remington Square plan as it exists when it comes before us, we can defer it back and say go consider a plan development overlay. Or we could say go back and do whatever. I mean, so I think we still have all the options on the table. I don't think we're limiting ourselves here. So I think by putting this option two in the plan, we keep it open to see what staff can do with it and the applicant, and then we'll see the final outcome and we'll have a chance to vote on whether or not we like it or not. So I guess I'd support option two and have the plan be a little more wide open for consideration. I can't make a motion. You want me to? I'd move, I mean, other people can still discuss it. I don't want to cut off discussion, but I'd move for approval of more clarification with option two.
Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Culver. Okay, discussion. Commissioner Singleton.
Well, Commissioner Berger. Well, Commissioner Berger is the one who initiated the motion with the PD overlay, and I seconded it. And I know that my intent was to ensure that there was public process with site planning when I made that second. And it to my recollection is that it was unclear about that these complications that have now become clear about the planned development district overlay were not something that we were aware of. And, you know, with further investigation, it doesn't work well with the area that we put it in. So I would support option two as well.
Commissioner Berger?
While I respect option two and the discussion and the presentation, I am somewhat concerned. What I'm hearing is that going with option two, we can do the planned development overlay or rezoning with conditions. I don't like the idea of conditional zoning. I like the idea of being as specific as we can because we've done a lot of work at looking at this in a very detailed way. If the PD overlay is not the appropriate tool, okay. But as option two is written, I'm not comfortable with it. What I hear people saying, I'm not necessarily opposed to, but the way option two is written with the rezoning of conditions. Another concern I have is that with the PDA, you get the automatic 20%. And based on the testimony that we've heard tonight, I would be very favorable to applying that only to the residential. In an ideal world, I think I'd like to see it extended to the others, but I realize we've already got plans that have been drawn up, et cetera, et cetera. So I prefer option one because it does give us the 20% automatically, but I would be very favorable to that on the residential parcel. Because it is specific, and staff, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I was hearing was that we would have the availability to have trails or additional green space, public space. But I'm not necessarily hearing the specifics as to how that happens. So without those specifics, I'm inclined to think that it would be the community that would have to be the advocates and initiate the action for that to happen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but those are my concerns on the two options.
It could be. Site planning is a process, and so it will evolve as it goes through the public process, starts at staff and the applicant, gets to the planning commission or the city commission. And we did take that process up to create the linear park south of 24th Street. And that's still perhaps on the table, making a connection from Clinton Parkway down, if it's appropriate. We'll deal with a lot of different agencies to see if that's an appropriate element for the site plan. And Commissioner Berger, option number two doesn't prevent the Planning Commission from making a recommendation as the rezoning request comes before you, because we know they need to upzone to get the density they need. It doesn't prevent you. Let's assume that rezoning request comes with a set of 3 to 5 conditions. Perhaps they're about conditioning the type of structure, the density, the process itself for site planning. If the commission is not comfortable with recommending that package to the city commission, you could recommend instead a PD overlay and send them back to the drawing board with the plan development overlay, and the plan would support you, because option two says there are different ways to get at the value of processing these development plans in this area. And so I don't think it prevents you from recommending a PD overlay to the Planning Commission once you see an actual request for Remington Square and the other districts, the other areas there. It just broadens your options about what the plan will support in terms of your recommending to the City Commission.
Commissioner Lees?
I'm really torn on this. I feel like, as a commissioner, I don't really know enough. The letter from the League of Women Voters of August 18th is very educational, but I have to be honest, I don't, because of a lack of planning experience, I don't know that I really get it completely. I know you guys are recommending, staff is recommending I don't know if you're recommending option two, but you see it as an option, right? I don't know that you're recommending it directly.
Right.
At the moment, I'm definitely leaning towards option one because when I voted for it, I understood it. option two is like new, and because there's enough community dislike for it, I'm going to vote against it. I will not support this because I don't feel like I understand why we'd change it, what we did. So I will vote against this motion.
Any others? Any other comments? Mr. Finkeldye.
Well, I would only add that, I mean, between Commissioner Boogers and Commissioner Lisa's point, maybe those, I mean, I certainly support the motion. I want to keep that way. I do think we have a real issue of applying this PD overlay to the Hy-Vee location, and so voting for option one puts a really interesting spin on how you could even have a commercial and make that work. So I understand what you're saying, Commissioner Lease, but I think sticking with option one really puts us in a situation where we're asking an applicant for the Hy-Vee to do a PD overlay that just makes absolutely no sense. And I don't think that sets a good precedent. I think, as Commissioner Berger points out, certainly as to the Remington Square area, there's much more argument to be made there. But I'm supporting option two. I think it gives us the options. I think we can see it and we can deal with it. If that motion fails, I certainly wouldn't support option one. There might be something in between. But I just wanted to point that out.
Commissioner Lease?
My understanding is we're doing a mid-month educational meeting next month on PD overlay. Is that correct? I thought it was on the agenda. Or at least we've discussed the value of educating ourselves on the intricacies of PD overlays, even if it's not on the schedule. Is that correct?
On overlay districts, which could include PD overlay districts.
Yeah, this is one of those that I might even have abstained for if abstention was an option. I understand it's not. So I really feel like I'm just pleading ignorance. I feel like I'm not smart enough for this one.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Well, I might just add that we're fixated a little bit on some of the knowns that we have out in front of us, Remington Square and Hy-Vee, but applications have come and gone. And so from staff's perspective, we know that, and I mentioned three different ways to have a public process for development, PD overlay, conditional zoning, and an SUP. And so we don't know what kind of application will come in the future that would fit best with that application. And we know, in my opinion, an SUP is a very public process for the Hy-Vee site. If that gets approved and it's not acted upon, it reverts back to whatever zoning we give it. And then maybe we have a different kind of process. But we're fixated a little bit on what we know about Remington and Hy-Vee, but those can't change. I would just offer that. And so we think that the plan should be flexible enough for us to react to whatever development application is in front of us with your intention of going through a process so that the community, the neighborhood, can come in and speak to some of the development issues.
Commissioner Blazer.
All we've talked about is actually lots two and three. Is option two, would that be a better option for lot one when that plan, whatever that plan is, when somebody decides to do something there?
It's designated commercial in the plan.
Yeah.
And again, may not be the most, PD may not be the most appropriate on commercial properties. They just work a little bit differently. But as rezonings come to the commission, for example, I think we know enough about the intention of these separate properties to put good conditions, if conditional zoning is the thing to use, and to the SUP, if the SUP is the right process to use. So Inverness and Clinton Parkway, we understand there's a buffer. We want that in the zoning record probably when it comes to us. Remington, we know we want good open space and good landscaping and good quality development, so there may be some things we can do there. PD probably isn't the most appropriate on Inverness and Clinton as a commercial designated property.
Is or is not?
Is not. Crossgate or the two commercial pieces.
Other comments? Commissioner Berger?
The one to the south, we didn't apply that one last month.
Mr. Lease.
If this doesn't pass, what happens next?
We hope something passes.
We'll make another motion. Yeah, I guess
I'm really interested in the other options. What would they be?
Why don't we vote first?
Okay.
It's okay with me. Any other comments applicable to this motion that's pending?
Well, I wasn't here last month, and I was going to abstain from this, but it's too much fun now. I believe I will vote for the motion because I think it gives us more, and again, thinking about lot one, which all we know at this point is it's a bare lot, that it gives us more options for that to be planned or commercialized, I guess it's own commercial. So at this point, I will vote for option two, just because there's it's a broader statement of what can happen.
Commissioner Culver?
I just wanted to point out the reason I supported this motion is looking at the question up there and clarifying the intention or the intent of applying the PD in our previous session, and then coming back and find out there's some limitations to that. For myself, the intention was to provide a public process to review and to make sure that the public is heard. And for that reason, I supported option two, because a PD isn't the only tool that we can use to involve the public and make it a public process. So option two would make a lot more sense in this instance, knowing what we know about some of the limitations on the PD.
Any other comments? Commissioner Britton.
I kind of have maybe two questions really quick for staff. The first one is, and I wasn't here last month either, was this a public hearing item last month when the plan was amended or adopted?
I believe it was, yes.
And so I guess my second question is it accurate to say that if we do nothing today, option one is the status quo and that's what it goes back to? Or is it unclear in the,
well,
bear with me since I'm new
this
to
is,
all
this. And Commissioner, that's a great question, because it's a little bit unique that we're bringing back one of the Planning Commission's decisions to you for clarification. But we felt it was prudent, given that we wanted to get clarification of the intent, really. And then we tried to offer up a couple of different ways to get to the intent. One, we think, was pretty direct in that the Commission last month said, let's use the Plan Development Overlay District for all three properties on Clinton Parkway. That was in the motion, and that was what was approved. And then once staff got back to the office during the next week and we started looking at it, we said, well, is it really appropriate on all three districts? We don't disagree that it can be appropriate for Remington Square. We don't disagree with that at all. It's not the only option in our opinion, but it's an appropriate option. But we think there are other appropriate options for the other two pieces, especially Hy-Vee and the Inverness Park corner. And so that's where we so, well, let's take an opportunity before we send it to the City Commission and go get the Planning Commission's discussion and clear intent, so that, because we didn't want to go with that question ourselves until we came to you. So it's a little bit unique that we're doing this.
And I guess maybe my comment then would be that I'm not so sure how much of a clarification this sounds like. It almost sounds like asking the question, the first question, all over again. And so I wonder about doing that in a as a non-public hearing item when sort of the original decision was made, let's go with these PD districts, and now the clarification is, well, wait, did you really want to go for that? And it seems like that maybe is not just a clarification and maybe is something that should be open up to the public, the same public hearing process that was given when that decision was originally made. So I guess that's my concern on it, and I don't know if, and so I'm leaning towards voting no on option two just because I think that preserves the decision that was made last month according to that process, but those are my thoughts.
Any other comments? And I'm gonna throw in my two cents worth. I actually came here convinced that option one is what I would vote for. And in looking at option two and hearing the discussion, the PDO may yet be what I would want to approve for this. The thing that I find attractive about option two versus option one is it doesn't lock in the PDO, but it would preserve it. And I do think it probably is entirely appropriate for the Remington Square portion of this, not for the other parcels. But the thing I like about option two is, first of all, it doesn't lock us in. We can still use a PDO with a specific application. Other thing I like about it is that it provides for a public process and it goes to our elected officials. And I am convinced that this particular strip of land is a critically important gateway into the city, if you will. The appearance of this is really important to the city. I kind of like the idea of having the most flexibility. And if we decide subsequently to apply a PDO, that's the decision. But we may decide that conditional zoning is more appropriate. I may disagree with Commissioner Berger a little bit in that I think conditional zoning is a tool that we have used on occasion and that can effectively be used. And I have no hesitancy in suggesting that if that's what's required for this location. So I'm kind of lukewarm in saying this, but I guess option two appears to be more favorable just from the standpoint of flexibility in the future. I'm also a little bit, well, I don't know, befuddled is the right word. The idea of having a one owner home or owners association, my concern about that is you really give the entity that owns that kind of shelter, because as a homes association, they can make decisions about maintenance. And it may not be what we would all approve. I'm a little hesitant about that because I don't want to inadvertently give them some shelter from their civic responsibilities. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but like we've said before, we've been talking about Hy-Vee, may not be Hy-Vee. This is a district plan. It's not a specific application. And I think we have to consider it in that context. So I guess what I'm saying is, in a long-winded way, is I will probably support option two, but I do want the minutes to be clear that I think a PDO is still on the table for part or all of these properties. Any other comments? Commissioner Berger.
This may be a dumb question, but who gets to decide whether it's a PDO or it's a rezoning with conditions, and when in the process does that decision happen if we adopt option two?
The request would come through staff to the Planning Commission. If it's a request with a plan development overlay, that's a rezoning request, and we advertise it as such, and it comes to the Planning Commission, you make a recommendation to the City Commission. If it comes as straight zoning with conditions agreeable by the applicant and staff, we bring that request to the Planning Commission, and you will make a recommendation to the City Commission. If your recommendation is to deny the rezoning or to defer to, I mean, if the applicant agrees to go back and do a plan development, you could defer the application to let them tag that on, and then we have to advertise it as such. If they're not willing to do that, you can make a recommendation to the City Commission that a plan development overlay be included with their rezoning request. So you have options as it comes, but you get to see the rezoning request first and make the recommendation to the City Commission.
So either way, we get to see it.
Either way, you will get to see it. Once it's zoned, depending on what, you know, if conditions are placed on it, depending on what conditions are included, you may or may not see it after that. For example, if our typical conditions about site planning process past the administrative approval and review is that the governing body sees those. So that we have done some conditional zoning. If you, some of you know about Northwest area on industrial districts, that the site plan goes to the City Commission. It bypasses the Planning Commission, but it spends a lot of time with staff and the consultants, and then it will go to the City Commission at the appropriate time. It could come to you, you recommend a condition that it comes to the Planning Commission and then the City Commission. So there's different things you can do with those conditions at the appropriate time.
Commissioner Berger, go ahead.
So is it the staff and the applicant that work together to determine which is the best tool?
I think to start, yes. And then we will make a recommendation to you, and then you get to make your recommendation to the governing body. But we will take that. For example, Hy-Vee, we're processing that application right now. In the context of this plan, I believed after we had last month's meeting that the special use permit is an appropriate process. And so I think it's good to marry those up and go with a rezoning request and the special use permit. Now, we may still want to condition any zoning, the base zoning necessary to accommodate the special use permit, with the condition that if that special use permit goes away, that some sort of public site planning process be linked to the zoning. I mean, that's something that we can recommend to you, and you can recommend that to the City Commission. I guess the variables are so great that we wanted to open it up a little bit and give you the tools to make those kinds of decisions when they're presented to you. And the PD, as the only tool in the toolbox, seems a bit inflexible right now.
Commissioner Lees?
Commissioner Berger, thank you for those questions. The answers help me. So if I may, I want to ask Senator Francisco again, given that all we're doing is opening up options and it would come back to us and it would be a public meeting, and there'd be time then to question that choice, is it okay to ask once more to explain why having more options is a bad thing? Because I've already said I'm leaning towards option one because I'm not sure I understand. But.
And I apologize in that the League's letter was specifically addressed at your meeting last month at the Remington Square development, where we understood that as part of this plan, the owner of that property was asking to develop at a higher density than they currently have, and they're not able to do that under the current zoning. So we proposed an alternative from what the staff was recommending. So this is in fact different because you've included more things. Last time it was recommendation for RM15, and this now includes the overlay district. So I think that that's a good thing that this is mentioned. I think the concern is that it really is the applicant then deciding what they want to do, and people have to object rather than the Planning Commission saying, you know, if you want a more densely developed area than you've already used, you would have to come back to us with more information. So they could come to you with an RM15 request. We would have to object to that request. They would have to go back. They could plead that, you know, it's a timing issue. We need to get this done, you know. Why are you asking us to do more? And that same thing is going to happen at the City Commission if the site plan goes to the City Commission in this process, because then it's not going to be a Planning Commission hearing where you talk about it at the Planning Commission and then have a little time for everybody to see what the comments were and see it again at the City Commission. If there's a site plan, it's only going to be seen at the City Commission. So I think our objections are that at this point, there really isn't, I mean, we think that we need to incorporate the practice of conditional zoning in our land development code. We don't talk about that. We have done it. We don't know if the conditional zoning appears on the maps. How do people remember 20 years from now? We are not going to have Betty Lichtwart forever. And at some time.
Yes, we will.
And at some point in time, she's not going to be able to tell us what happened 20 years ago. So if these conditions are not included on the site plan map, how does anybody remember that there were conditions for that zoning? I'm just saying that we believe that that's one of the reasons to use this overlay district rather than conditional zoning, or we should establish those rules for conditional zoning. So really, this is more of a process issue for us. I do believe that in this case, option two does allow more things, but I'm a little concerned about the language, and I think Commissioner Berger, when she said it says, a public process for site planning the properties, such as. So we're not making any requirement at all. Right? We're suggesting two things that could or could not happen. So option one is very specific. Option two is very amorphous. And I'm not sure if there's any good place in between those two, but
my understanding is, though, that they would.
Yeah, so the problem is a public process for site planning. We don't have a public process for site planning. We have a public process for hearing or reviewing site plans. I mean, we're not really asking, again, I'm now just talking about the wording that you're adopting. We're not going to have a public process for site planning. We're going to have a public process for reviewing a site plan for these properties. So we should say that in the option. And rezoning with conditions that require site plan approval is very different from rezoning with a planned development overlay. I'm just saying maybe we could also be more specific about that language so that it is more clear.
Senator Francisco.
Yes.
So your biggest concern is if we're operating under a deficit of leverage of sorts, so this is you'd prefer a more proactive as opposed to reactive plan.
We were just saying when there was a specific request from a developer on Remington Square Apartments to see an increase in the zoning in this district plan to RM15. So that was a very specific proposal in the plan. We're responding with an equally specific proposal that we think is much better for that lot. I don't think we were suggesting that it be for all these lots because I agree with the staff that for the development of commercial, there are other areas. I do think we have to step back and do a couple of things. We need to incorporate, if we're going to start using conditional zoning, we have to refer to it in our land development code so that people know what the rules are for making conditions. And now I'm trying to remember what I thought the second. And I forgot again. So, but we want to incorporate the practice, and we want to understand how this zoning will work. I guess just, is it going to be marked on the map? How are we going to remember about it? But I'll think of something, what I meant to say, and come and say it in public comment.
That's fine. I have a question for staff. I don't mean to interrupt you, but aren't the conditions stated on the site plan if there's conditional zoning?
I wish Betty were here. She would remember this. But per some comments of the league, I don't know, some time ago, a year or two ago, in the direction of the Planning Commission, we revised our mapping techniques to make a layer of conditional zoning so that when we look up zoning now in the city, it has a striped pattern, And then we can click on that, and if the ordinance is attached to it, we can see exactly what the prohibitions and the conditions were. So there is an ordinance there that has the conditions in the zoning. That's the law we are governed by, and that is mapped per some direction by the Planning Commission based on some comments that the League made some time ago. And so that's one of the reasons I feel less concerned about it, was that very issue of tracking these things. It's a little bit out of the norm. Now that we have good mapping technologies, we think it's easier to track and make sure we get it.
And I appreciate that, because I knew that we had brought that up, and I should have been following whether it happened or not. But again, this change that you're making is not to the site plan. It's a change to the zoning itself. So it may be more confusing in some ways, because when you do conditional zoning and it works with a particular plan, then it's zoned that way. And if we experience a tornado and the land is cleared and new development comes up, then all of a sudden you've got those same conditions, because they come with the zoning. They're not associated with that site plan. So somebody would have to come back and change the zoning in that case, right? Because it's a condition of the zoning. And so I think tying a site plan and zoning together are really, I mean, it may make sense, but the way we've decided to do that is through this planned districts, so that they happen at the same time. When you start conditioning zoning, then there's a condition on the zoning that applies to the site plan, but it's not part of the site plan when you change. I mean, you still are going to have to, any new site plan would have to honor that, because it's zoning, not a plan. Whereas if you backed away from the planned development, you would change all that, and you wouldn't be tied to any particular previous requirements through zoning. I mean, you would have to rezone it as well. So in both cases, you'd have to do rezoning.
Okay, and that would be a public process, right?
That would be a public process. Okay. And in either case now, if you put conditional zoning and it requires a site plan, 20 years from now, somebody wants to redevelop, that will still be the requirement that you've put the onus on them to have a public process.
Right.
It's not ever easy.
Commissioner Burton.
Senator Francisco, sorry, I know you're trying to. I just want to make sure I'm clear. So the League's issue right now is related specifically to the Remington Square properties. And are you saying that's really what you're focused on, as far as you want option one basically to apply to that development, and you're not so sure about the other two options or the...
Okay. When we reviewed the plan, we saw the proposal for RM15 for Remington Square Apartments. We simply wanted to say that we thought the planned development overlay district would be a better option if you wanted to increase the density, and it would give us some opportunity for planning, just for that property. The Planning Commission decided to adopt it for all those. And the second thing I was going to say was change the requirements of this homeowners association. If it's a planned overlay district and you mean it to apply to more things than just residential, and you mean it to apply to apartments, we should have a way that we're stating it so that we get what we want without putting up red flags to people who are going, I don't want to have to form a homeowners association, I'm one person. We might want to say, if the property is ever subdivided and sold, a homeowners association needs to be established. That's already in state law, and that's really what we're getting at. We are using the same proposal, I understand, at 1043 Indiana, and they would be required to do a homeowners association, but we're only going to have one property owner. So it didn't come up because they thought they could work around it, and were so excited to just move on with all their questions. But it would throw up red flags to everybody because of the naming that we've used in our, that it, that homeowners doesn't apply to everyone. So that was the second thing I was going to say. Thank you all for your patience.
Thank you. We appreciate your input. We really do. Anyone else have comments? Questions? Discussion? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion for approval of option two that was seconded. If there's no further discussion, then we'll take an up and down vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion to approve option two, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five. Those opposed? One, two, three, four. The motion passes 5-4. Okay. Is there any miscellaneous new or old business?
Night, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. If that's the case, then we will reconvene on Wednesday. Thank you.
This is the real field. This is it. This
there
is
we
it.
Go.
This is classic Planning Commission idea. Messy, messy.
Fun stuff.
Right?